tell him, neighbor. Oh, you got to open your mouth now. Look at your neighbor, tell him, neighbor. I don't care what you're going through. He won't put no more on you than you can bear. Tell him, neighbor. I may not know everything. Neighbor, this one may not know.
Is KAYT Gina Alexandria. This is gospel radio at its very best. 88.1 KAYT. Praising the Lord.
The Word with Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I invite you to stay tuned as I share a powerful message from God's Word that will change your life. It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of the mouth of God. And now, here's today's message.
The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. But you know, to live our life with precision, it requires some things that sometimes don't really seem that important, like being organized. It's very important that we get organized. I'm talking about in your personal life, to organize your life, your habits from day to day, what you're doing, how do you process all the things that's coming at you. You got to have a system of how you deal with things, how you process information, how you process good information, how you process bad information. You got to be organized in your thinking. Amen? Now, the definition of the word organized is this: to be arranged in a systematic or orderly way. To put things in particular order. To order or to arrange things so that they can be found or used easily and quickly. In other words, an example of this would be to organize something would be to take something that's messy, chaotic, unordered, or unstructured, and to rearrange it in a logical, systematic, structured, orderly way. You know, most of the time at home, our kids' rooms get out of order. So what you do? You tell them to do what? Clean it up. What are you telling them? Put some things back in order. It's too much chaos in here. To disorganize is to arrange things randomly, patternless, planless, and unsystematically. And so if we're going to see God's glory and we're going to see God's best blessings in our life, then we're going to have to pay attention to how we organize our life, how our lives are organized, how our activities are organized, how the things that we do are organized. And I'm going to show you why this is so important. But first, let me give you some scriptural references. The kingdom of God is well organized. The kingdom of God is not random at all. Everything has a plan and a purpose. Everything has a place. God is a God of order. He's not a God of chaos. In fact, the scripture tells us that God is not the author of confusion. He doesn't author confusion. There ain't no confusion in heaven. And when somebody tried to create some confusion, they got kicked out. Disrupted the order there. The kingdom of God is very orderly. In Genesis, we see the plan and purpose for creation. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2, we see the plan for God's creation. That God had a plan. Amen. God had a systematic, ordered approach to creation. Didn't he? I mean, if you look at it, there's a systematic way he did everything. Because he's very organized. Amen. And because he's so organized, there's a precision that he functions with. Because he is perfection. He is perfection personified. He's so precise that when he finished his work, when he set out and said, I'm going to create this, he did it in an orderly, systematic way. And then when he looked at it, he said, this is good. So being organized is not a bad thing. It's actually good for you. Everything was created in a systematic, orderly fashion. And then he called his work good. All right, let me give you some other examples out of the Bible. Noah had to build an ark. But he couldn't build just any old ark. He just couldn't build any kind of boat. Guess what God did? Gave him a pattern, told him how to construct it. That meant that Noah had to be organized. There was an organized approach to building this boat that was going to house all the animals and save his family, those eight people that got saved from the great flood. So that was not something he didn't just say, Noah, just go build a boat. No. It was very detailed, very planned out, very organized approach to it. Took many years to do it too. So it tells you that you got to be really consistent and you got to be diligent to stay with whatever plan God got you on. Amen. Amen. In Exodus, the tabernacle had to be constructed according to the pattern that God gave Moses. Do you know why? Because we find out in the book of Hebrews that the tabernacle that Moses built was simply a pattern or an example of the tabernacle that existed in heaven. That's why God gave him such great detail, because all he was doing was creating a duplicate on earth. There's a tabernacle in heaven, glory to God, and when God spoke to Moses, he said, now you make sure you build it according to the pattern that I gave to you. There's a purpose behind it. So it was very organized. Very strategic, very organized, because he was setting the stage for Messiah to come. Way back then, in Leviticus, the sacrifices had to be offered in an orderly, systematic way. There were certain things you could sacrifice and certain things you couldn't. So it wasn't just, we just pick something and just sacrifice it. You know, that's kind of like what Cain did. Cain said, I worship the way I want to worship. I'll bring some fruit. And the Lord rejected his offering because there was an order established. It's organized. We don't think about God as being that way, but he is. Amen. Now, catch this here. Even with the sacrifices, you remember when Abraham took Isaac up to the mountain, the Bible says, and he arranged the wood. In other words, there was even a way you had to arrange the wood when you got ready to offer sacrifice. He was very detailed. God's very organized. And Satan will use disorganization to hinder God's plan in your life. If you're not watching, if you're not careful. Catch this one right here. Rahab, the harlot. In Joshua chapter 2, he had two spies with the stalks of flax which he had laid in order upon the roof. So guess what? When it came time for an emergency situation, when two spies showed up, Rahab didn't have to organize a place to hide them. You wonder why God chose her? Out of all the people in that city that were saved, Rahab and her father's household were the only people that came out of that place alive. But then I looked at the scripture, and just the detail there was that on a rooftop, she had stalks of flax. That was fiber. That was like yarn or thread or linen. So she had them all organized. The Bible says they were in order up on the rooftop, and she hid them among those stalks of flax. She already had a place prepared. So that's another thing that organization helps you. It helps you be prepared for strategic moments. She hid them among the stuff that she normally worked with. But this woman was organized. She didn't just throw her stuff up on the roof. You know how some people do? Look, just throw that yarn up there on the roof. Take all that linen, just put it up there. It don't matter. No, the Bible says, listen to what the scripture says, which she had laid in order up on the roof. It's amazing how little words can make a big difference when the Holy Ghost shines a spotlight on something, how he pulled things out of them scriptures. She was organized. Amen. Rahab was prepared for her assignment by organizing stalks of flax or linen, and it saved her life and her father's household and put her in the lineage of Jesus Christ. My God. A simple act of making sure that what you're doing is organized. You never know how it plays a part in your destiny. I remember when I was working as an engineer, God dealt with me about staying organized and knowing where stuff was and knowing where I was on projects and things like that. And so whenever my boss would come by and ask a question, Greg, weigh in on that, I didn't have to say, let me get back with you. I could always give him an answer of where I was. And it was because of the way the Lord was leading me to stay organized. And then the reason why I remember it, because he made a comment one day. He said, you can always ask Greg where he's at, and he can always tell you. And that caused him to give me even more responsibility. So that created an increase for me in promotion. Praise God. All right, how about Jehoshaphat? Jehoshaphat got a strategy from God in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. But, you know, when they went out to go take care of these three kings, guess what happened? He put the singers in front of the army. Now, they was organized, not randomly. How many of y'all can see that? That God had a strategic plan in a certain way he wanted it done. And you just got to do it his way. Right. Amen. Everybody say, doing it his way. Amen. Joshua led an organized attack upon the city of Jericho, and a wall that was thought to be impenetrable came crashing down. This was a strategic strategy full of supernatural power when obeyed. This was not random. It was not a random, unorganized attack. So what did he do? He said, look, I've given Jericho into your hands. Would that mean you just take off running and go toward it? No, that ain't what he did. God had a plan for them to march around it 7 days. You know, one time each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, go around it seven times. On the seventh day, blow the trumpet, and the walls came down. Praise God. How about Gideon? He started out with 32,000. And what did God say? He said, everybody that's scared, go home. He lost two-thirds of his army. 22,000 out of 32,000 left. So he's got 10,000 left. Now, what's amazing about this is that they got to go against an army of 135,000. So you couldn't hardly stand to lose no men, but God said, if they feel for, I can't use them. Get everybody scared. Everybody's afraid of dying. Get rid of them. So they sent 22,000 packing. He got 10,000 left. He said, now I'm going to prove them. You still got too many. Take them down by the brook, and then I'm going to prove them. Everybody that lapped like a dog. He said, I'm going to use them. Only the ones that got on their knees and kept watch. And reached down and put their hands together and drank like this. 300 of them. He said, now, I'm going to deliver Midian into your hand with 300 men. An army of 135,000 going to be taken out by 300. And then Gideon, after he got instruction from the Lord, arranged them in certain places, in strategic places.
Come on.
Glory to God. I mean, I could go on and on and on. God's a God of order. He's very organized. Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in 52 days by organizing the people and giving them specific tasks that kept them focused on their assignment. You know, opposition kept coming, and Nehemiah just kept adjusting his plan, staying organized. So it got to a point where they were building the wall with a brick in one hand and a sword in the other one. Five times he was challenged by his adversaries to come down off the wall. Guess what he said? Nehemiah 6, 3 through 5. Each time he systematically responded, I am doing a great work, so I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down to you? So no matter what they tried, he said, I'm doing a great work. In other words, he's very organized, very systematic in what he was doing. And he says, I'm not going to be distracted from the assignment that God has given me. See, disorganization bring unnecessary distraction. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:40 says, let all things be done decently and in order. Now, Jesus is a great example, and he's the best example of everything because he's the ultimate, but he's a great example. To be organized is to have structure, a systematic approach, a way of doing things, and that's really how Jesus lived his life. Jesus wasn't just out there just whatever be going to be. I'm going to tell you, he's very organized, very strategic in everything that he was doing. He stayed organized. In Matthew 9:35, it says this, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. So that was a pattern that he employed in his ministry, teaching, preaching, and healing. And other scriptures bear it out because another scripture in the book of Luke says, and they all pressed upon him to hear the word of God and to be healed. So a lot of times, he wouldn't even minister to you until he had taught you something. He would teach, that's instruction, that's explaining. He would preach, that's proclaiming. Amen, for inspiration. Teaching is for instruction. Preaching is for inspiration. You preach, you get people fired up. You teach them, you just tell them things. You instruct them. But preaching is for inspiration, and then he would manifest the healing power of God because the people were now ready. So a lot of times what happened is we won't pray for healing first, and then we're going to teach you something. But Jesus, the way he operated, and we see this all through the New Testament, he would sit down, he would teach people, and then he would demonstrate. And sometimes the lessons wouldn't be long, they'd be short lessons, but he would share the word because faith comes how? Now, who knows that? You think Jesus knew faith comes by hearing? You think he know that? Or you think that's a revelation to him? He's the author and finisher of faith, right? So he know how faith come, right? So he know that people got to hear the word to have faith. So he taught, he preached, then he demonstrated. That was a pattern. So he was organizing his approach and how he ministered to people. There's a divine order to ministry. Then in Luke 4:16, it says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. So you can see that he had some customs. There were some things that he did as a routine or as a habit. And one of his customs was that on the Sabbath day, you always knew where you was going to find him. In the synagogue. So he's organized in how he lived his life. There's certain days he's going to do certain things. And we see that a lot of the miracles the Holy Spirit inspired to be written in the Bible, many of those was done on the Sabbath. Well, where was he in the Sabbath? He was in the synagogue. That was his custom. In other words, that was his usual way of doing things. That doesn't mean that every Sabbath he was there. We don't know. I can't say that for sure. But we know he had a custom. You know, you can develop a custom of being late for your job. Ain't getting no amens out of that one, I'll tell you that. They say, oh, they always late. It's all right, they're going to be 10 minutes late. They ain't here yet. Where's the 8 o'clock? Can I talk so-and-so? They ain't here yet. Call back in 10 minutes. They always at least 10 minutes late. You can develop a custom of anything, a habit, a pattern. So Jesus was patterned. So I think it's a good pattern. If Jesus patterned himself to be in the synagogue on the Sabbath, then I think it would be good for you to pattern yourself to be in church on Sunday. It just developed a habit. I'm going to be there on Sunday. Make it a custom. All right. Luke 9:14. This is clearly demonstrated. When Jesus multiplied bread and fish, guess what he did first? Verse 14. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in companies. So guess what he did? He organized them. Well, it's about 5,000 here people here, Jesus. Okay, break them up into groups of 50. You're going to bring some organization. Because you start feeding people, what happened? When they're hungry, you know, they've been with him in a desert place for 3 days, they're hungry. What's going to happen? You start handing out food. Somebody's going to get stampeded. Right? There's going to be chaos. Everybody trying to get make sure they got something for them. Right? So what did he do? He organized the crowd. His organization kept Satan from getting into it. Amen. Kept him out. Kept him at bay. No chaos at all. This is going to be peaceful. This is going to be easy. And everybody going to have plenty. Satan ain't got nothing to do with this. So a lot of times when you're not organized, you create a door for Satan to get at you. Jesus kept him out and say, we're going to organize this here, because if we don't, then I'm going to leave a door open for Satan to get in this thing. And he said, no. Organize them. Set them down in companies of 50. This is what he did. Amen. John 9:4. He said this. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Well, what is Jesus saying? What's he saying right there? What he's saying is this. I don't have time to waste. When it's daytime, I'm working. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, there's some benefits to being organized. Let me give them to you. Here's some benefits. Being organized will help you use your time wisely. will enable you to take advantage of opportunities presented to you because you're organized. How many of you had something to do or somebody needed something from you and you couldn't find it? How many times you trying to get something done at home, hey, men, and you couldn't find that tool? I know it's in here somewhere, just ain't used it in a long time. So every now and then I take everything out and I reorganize it. Why? Because it get disorganized when you don't put stuff back where it belongs. So you got to be organized. Amen. Another benefit is being organized will help you work more efficiently with greater excellence and attention to detail. If you're not organized, then you're going to be inefficient. You're going to waste time. You're going to waste resources. How many of you went and bought something you already got? Because you couldn't find it. I know I got it. It's right here somewhere. I don't know where it's at. It'd be easy for me just go buy another one. What's all that? That's disorganization. That happened because you're not organized. Amen. If you are organized, you will accomplish more with less. That's what efficient means. Efficient means that you're able to take something and make the most of it. Actually get more out of it than really what anybody think you should be able to get out of it. You can do that with your time. How many of you know some people accomplish so much in a span of time and some people accomplish so little? What's the reason why some people accomplish so much in a short period of time? It's because they organized. It's because they stay on point. They stay focused on their task. You know, when I was working as an engineer, I developed this mindset. I'm here for 8 hours. I'm going to put in 8 hours of work. And so the custom in our company was 10-hour days. I'm going to do all my work in eight and a half max. It's because I didn't have time to stand around a coffee pot. First of all, I didn't drink coffee, so that made it easy. But there's some people that don't drink coffee and they see a crowd. Guess what? They see a crowd around the coffee pot. Guess what they do? Gravitate to it. Man, they got to work right now. Let's take a break. I wasn't into all them breaks. I mean, TC would tell you, I'd come home some days and I'd say, let me sit down for about 30 minutes because my brain would be fried. It would feel like that. I just was exhausted mentally because I worked. And I stayed organized. So I kept things rolling. When you do that, you actually have more time on your hands. I remember one time my boss came to me and he said, Greg, the operator just came to me. They need a valve right here running from this tank right here, a level control valve in this line right here. Put a level control valve right there. I said, okay, no problem. So I got with the operator, found out what they need to do, and guess what? Went to the storeroom, ordered the stuff, got the stuff there, had it put in on the next outage, world work order, had it put in. The next week, my boss walked by there, and he looked up, and he saw that valve in.